Hey, there we go. Good morning, church. It's great to see you this morning. What a beautiful day. It's so good to have the group back from Naturally Supernatural. Put your hand up if you went. There's a lot of people. Actually, keep your hands up. Could we have two people quickly just share a testimony from Naturally Supernatural? Come on. I'm sure there's loads of testimonies. Come to the front. Otherwise, I'll pick Lorna.
Gideon and Martin came on the last night, and it's always a bit touch and go because you know how noisy he is. But he came and sat in church in the main celebration, and the praise and worship started. It's really, really loud. If you know Vince, it's, you know, you can feel your body vibrating as it's as people are singing, and there's lights flashing and everything. And Gideon, I posted it on Facebook, this beautiful smile on his face. He did have his hands over his ears most of the time. Beautiful smile on his face. And then when the praise and worship was really going for it, Gideon was absolutely bouncing up and down in his chair. So I think the springs may have gone in it, but he loved it. It was brilliant.
Amazing. That's so good. That is so good. Okay, one more person. Come on, guys, you should be running up here. Okay. Yes. Jeanette. Oh, Steve. Well, we can have three. Come on. We're giving God the glory here. There we go, Steve.
It's very simple, really, but God speaks to you in unexpected ways at times like that. And as all of us know, there was one particular song which came a few times during the week. And every time it was played and every time we sang it, it kind of wrecked me. And I had tears streaming down my face. And it was wonderful. And there was one particular word, line in it, and it was very simply, "And at your breath, 100 billion failures disappear."
Mm.
And I thought, how wonderful that is. You know, we can all think back over our failures and to know that through the death of Jesus, every single one of them is wiped out and a new life begins.
Amazing. Thank you so much. That's incredible. Jeanette, did you want to share? Can someone run the mic? Come to the front, Jeanette. We love you. There we go.
This was the evening when Mike had a call for pastors and leaders of churches to be paid for. And I was in a row, a fairly young man, about 34, 5, stood up. He looked sort of Malaysian, but he might be thoroughly British, I don't know. But anyway, his demeanour was so broken. His head was down, his shoulders were down, and he didn't look up, but he did stand up for prayer. So there were three or four of us who prayed around him, just had a, didn't know what to pray for, hadn't asked him what he needed to pray for. And so down, I thought, please lift your head up for the Lord. So nothing was said to him, and we just prayed, and you could just gradually see the Holy Spirit working. He was just wobbling a little bit, and he was just moving a little bit, but his head was still down. And then he lifted his head up, but it still didn't look quite right, and head went down again. And we continued praying, and Michael says, "You must wait, just wait, don't, you know, be in a hurry. You know, it's in God's timing." So we waited, and we prayed, and prayed. And then he just stood erect, and he just collapsed in his chair in absolute peals of laughter. He was so released from whatever was binding him. It was wonderful.
Wow.
And he's laughing his head off for about 5 or 10 minutes. It was just lovely.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love hearing testimonies. And Tim's been doing some evening services about the power of testimony. If you guys have attended those, they have been really amazing. We've been watching testimonies from all around the world about what God is doing, the healings, the breakthroughs, and declaring that breakthrough over other people. So if you haven't been to an evening service, I highly recommend coming because God is doing some amazing things. I've seen healings. And yes, he is just all over those evening services. So, like I said, it's so lovely to be here, and I really do feel humbled and privileged to stand here today and bring the word of God. And I don't know, if you don't know me, my name's Abby, and I've been away for 3 years doing ministry school, but now I am back for good. and I'm really happy to be here. Transition is a little bit hard sometimes, but I'm really grateful God has sent me back here, and just to see what he's doing in this church. I love the fact that God has been roaring these last few weeks about faith, about testimony, about breakthrough. And it's amazing because none of us really speak to each other before the service, and to see how God links up the dots is just the most incredible thing to see. And I really feel like he's just roaring over risk. He's roaring over walking through open doors to see breakthrough, because he has paid the price. He has paid the price. And journeying with the Lord is never boring. It's never boring. Might be hard sometimes. It really is never boring. If you're finding it a bit boring, you probably don't know him very well. And I felt like today that God had given me a word, and it's like a conviction on my life that I really hope that I communicate it well and in love, and you hear my heart in it, basically. I have had the privilege of traveling and just ministering in different places, and places that I didn't ever picture myself in, or probably never thought I would have the confidence to go and speak in like mini churches or crowds or whatever. But when God says go, you go. No matter how you feel, you go. And he always shows up. And we've seen amazing miracles. We've seen amazing breakthroughs. But one thing I cannot get off my mind is that if it wasn't about Jesus, it was all pointless. If he wasn't there, it was all pointless. It was a waste of money to go. It was a waste of money to take people's time. If it was about, I'm all for keys. I'm all to get keys for breakthrough, to get keys, you know, for to walking in your Christian life. But if Jesus is not at the center, it is all pointless. It is all pointless. I can give you teachings on breakthrough, prophecy, whatever, but if Jesus is not in the center and he is not in our midst, it is pointless. We might as well go home. And I want to talk, literally just talk about Jesus today, because he is the best. He is the savior of the world. He is the savior of the world. And I think we can come so over familiar with Jesus as the Son of God, Jesus as the Savior of the world. But when you sit on that truth for an amount of time, I don't think you can help but weep. I don't think you can help but have your heart transformed by the truth and your mind renewed. I've had the privilege of seeing people come to the Lord, and I'm sure you all have too. At conferences or just on the streets or just in your own home, where people decide to give their life to Jesus. And the day of salvation is one of beauty and joy. There's no miracle like salvation. There is no miracle like salvation. And today I just felt the Lord say he wants to awaken hearts of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of the gospel, the weight that it carries, the weight of the name of Jesus. And is he really at the center of our lives? We can come to church. He didn't die. He died on the cross and he resurrected. He didn't die for us to come to church. He didn't die for us to become a really good Christian or to sing a song in church or to sing a hymn. He died simply so that we could be restored into relationship with the Father, like the garden. And we can hunger for miracles, we can hunger for signs and wonders, but that comes out of the overflow of being with him. That comes out of the overflow of knowing him and spending time with him. And I found, even just with my walk with Jesus, if you're in a ministry school, you're kind of expected to pray for people and, you know, go on the streets. And I found that really hard at first, because it became this almost striving within me to not to perform, but just to just to be like, God, I want to represent you well, and all these kind of like panics. And when the gospel whacked me around the face, I've known Jesus since I was young, but it's only in these last few years where the power of the gospel has literally just whacked me around the face, and the conviction of truth has just fallen upon my life. And so when I minister now, it's out of a place where there's no striving. There's no kind of this desperate thing, oh, please get healed, please get healed. It's like, I know the power of the gospel. I know the power of Jesus inside of me. Therefore, it's not about me. It's about him using me as a vessel, praying for that person to see breakthrough and to see healing and to see signs and wonders. Amen. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. Without him, we can do nothing. We can't do anything. Let that just sink in for a bit. Without Jesus, without the King of Kings, without him dying on a cross and resurrecting, we cannot do a thing to bring his kingdom to earth. I think the power of the gospel and the revelation of the gospel never gets old. There's always another layer to discover. There's always another layer to discover. And you can know here the gospel, but to know it here is way better. It is way better. Because from that place you discover what a new creation actually means, what it means to be righteous, what it means to die to your flesh and live in Christ. And in my second year, I spent so much time in the book of Romans because I was so frustrated that I didn't understand what being righteous was. And it simply means being right with God. And I spent so much time in Romans because it was just a book full of identity. So if you're not sure what your identity looks in Christ, it's all in the Bible, but Romans... I highly recommend. I love Romans. It's one of my favorites. You should go and just sit with the Lord and read it with him. I don't know about you, but I've seen people that I'm immediately drawn to because they know who Jesus is. You can see Jesus in their eyes. You can see it around them. You can see that they've literally just spent hours sitting with him. And when you find those people, it's like, I don't know about you, but I just want to be close to them. I just want to be close. And any hardship they're going through, any walk of life they're in, I want to be close to them because I'm certain that they know Jesus. I've seen something on them that I'm so hungry for, that a layer of Jesus that they know that I don't, I want to be next to them, to just journey with the Lord with them and ask some questions. And who is Jesus to you? What have you found out about him? And we can find that out by ourselves. But the beauty of the body of Christ is that you journey together. You journey together. You discover who Jesus is together. We gather in his name together. We don't gather in the name of High Street. We gather in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And where two or more are gathered, he is in our midst. So he is here today. And as I'm talking, I just turn your attention to him. If you don't want to listen to me, that's fine. As long as you turn your attention to him. Because that's why we're here today. We're here for him. We're bringing it back to the simplicity of the gospel. Because that is the root where we're going to see breakthrough. Because we'll understand our identity, who we are in Christ, and that who we're beholding. He needs to be at the center of everything. He is the cornerstone. He is the baby in the manger. He is the one who overturns tables. He is the one who sits with the broken. He is the bread of life. He is the good shepherd. He is the head of the church. He is the lion and the lamb. And he is the rock on which we stand. And I'm just going to ask Alex to show this video.
He's the king of ages, he's the king of righteousness, he's the king of the ages, he's the king of heaven, he's the king of glory, he's the king of kings. Wonderful, you know it. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the longest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be at all Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He rewards the aged. He rewards the penitent. And he purifies the weak. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory.
Good, I love that. Okay, I'm going to read from John 1. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light, he simply was a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became flesh and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowd, "This is the one I have been talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' For from his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." And we're going to skip. So good. It's just truth, isn't it? Like you read, I don't know about you, but I don't like reading the Bible and it feels shallow. And when you read the Bible in the presence of God with that conviction, when you know that Jesus Christ is Lord, it becomes completely different. Like there's depth in it. You see the depth in it. So we're going to continue reading. Oh, it's just so good. The next day, John said, Jesus, saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Flip. Do you recognize him in a room and say, "Look, there's the man who takes away the sins of the world"? Get to that place with him. Get to that place with him. John says, "He is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he has existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" I love this. John says, "I saw this happen. I saw this happen to Jesus. So I testify that he is the chosen one of God." And the next part of the story is when the first disciples come to meet Jesus and they say, "Where are you staying?" And that's a bit like our walk with the Lord. Like, we have to ask him those questions. Where are you staying? Because I don't know about you, but I want to walk with you. I want to know you. I want to be with you. I want to become like you. And to link that childlike wonder and faith when you're following the Lord. You know, like a little child, like, "Where are you going? Take me with you, please." Because I would rather walk in the footsteps of Jesus than any other man or woman on this earth who don't know what they're doing. He is the Word made flesh. The point of journeying with him isn't just to see miracles, it is to know him intimately. Because he knows you so intimately too. He doesn't do long relationships, long distance relationships. He wants to be close. Chris Ballison, he's one of my favourite speakers, he says, "You can claim to know the truth, but that doesn't mean you know him. If this were the case, the Pharisees would have been right." I think that's really true. A bit hard-hitting. And John 14, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He didn't say, he didn't come to his people and say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to me through the Father except when you know what the UCB says." When you know what the word of today is. When you know that your church is growing. He says, through himself, you can come to know the Father. It's all about Jesus. And I'm telling you, when that conviction, I know people are hungry, and I've been in that place where I'm like, I want a deeper conviction of who Jesus is. I want a deeper conviction to fall on my life of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of it. And I feel like I've only just seen a glance in it, but it has totally wrecked me. I don't know if people will like this, but let him mess you up. Let him totally mess you up. Let him break down all the walls. Let him break down all the walls in your life. The greatest barrier in your life will be your own mind trying to get to Jesus. If you have an unrenewed mind, get in the truth. Get in the Word of God, because it's alive and active today. Let it transform you, church. Let the Word of God transform you today. There's encounters that he wants to give you. There's encounters. He wants to be the center of everything. Get to know what he's like. Get to know his voice. And the beauty of this is when you start walking with Jesus, and you get to a place with him where you discover what a joy it is to lose your life and find it in him. It might not make sense sometimes, but that's the beauty of faith. That's the beauty of trust. And the absence of any sight never defines or challenges the power of God and the validity of his promises spoken over your life. He is the one holding us together. He is the one who created this whole earth. He is the one who's holding the air together. He is the one who's above everything. I don't know about you, but I want to know him and say, that's my king. The nature of the Tim did a preach, I think, saying, yes, Lord. That's the nature of the Christian walk. Saying yes, Lord. Even when it's our weakest yes. Saying yes, Lord. We owe him an abandonment of a yes. Say, Lord, take my whole life. Take my agenda, because I'm hungry for heaven's agenda on my life. I'm hungry for heaven's agenda on my life. I had a dream the other night, and I saw us as a church. We were kind of touring in this, I don't really know what it was. It was like a building. And there was this big grand hall, and all these clocks just started to appear, like they were dangling from the roof. Different size clocks, different colours. And some of you started to pull them down. And I woke up, and I just felt God saying, he wants to release callings in this place. He wants to release heaven's agenda upon your life even more than it has been. Who wants that? I do. I do. And I feel like I can hear some of you saying, like, I've had a promise for years. And I had a prophetic word years ago, and I haven't seen it come to pass. I want to tell you a quick story about my Nana. We were chatting the other day, and she reminded me of a story her testimony about speaking in tongues. And she's 99 now. This was probably about 2-3 years ago. I don't know whether she can hear me. 2-3 years ago, possibly. She has been wanting to speak in tongues her whole life. And one day, the Spirit of God just came in her house. And she just started just to speak in tongues. At 97, 96 years old. Amen. And she was on the phone to Millie. Millie was like, she couldn't stop speaking. Millie was like, Nana, you're talking gibberish. I don't know what you're saying. And Nana was just like, she couldn't stop. And I just think, wow. A gift that's promised to wait 96, 97 years for. And yet every day of her life, she continued to say yes to the Lord. And I don't know what Millie thought. Don't know whether Millie could interpret it, but maybe one day. But that's the beauty of knowing him. Are you prepared to sit for weeks upon weeks just to hear his voice? Are you prepared to sit down and pray and see and seek him until something happens? Are you prepared every day to sing, all hail King Jesus? We can't become casual with the Savior of the world. So Jesus, I just thank you for what you're doing in this room. I thank you, Lord, that the revelation of the gospel, you're going to unveil another layer of depth to it that we haven't experienced before. God, take us back to our first love. And Father, I ask if you would bring conviction to our lives, if we need to repent of small thinking. Then, Father, I pray that we would get in our secret place and do that with you today. Can we stand for a moment? I just want in your own hearts just to respond in any way you want to. In any way you want to. He is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. I don't care how far away you are from him. He is here. He wants to meet with you. If you've never met him before and you feel something you've never felt in your life, that's Jesus. That is his Holy Spirit touching your heart right now. He wants to be close. He wants to be close. If you want him to anoint your life, say, God, I will walk with faith that you will come through. He doesn't pour out anointing on a life that walks in sight. He anoints a life that walks by faith. So Holy Spirit, come. I bless this congregation. Have your way in their lives, Lord. Have your way in their lives.